Even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you this morning live from the Radio Ranch. What a beautiful morning. Sun is, it's up off the mountains. It's just where I sit in the broadcast booth. There's a barn. Our big barn is just to the east of us. And so here this September 25th, the sun hadn't quite made it up over that barn yet. So I'm still in a little bit of shade, but that sun is just reaching out across the meadows. And it's a beautiful morning, here at the Radio Ranch. And we thank you for joining us. And Paul, thank you. Good morning, and thanks for tuning in.
Good morning.
And Zach, good morning to you too, brother.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you as well. And we thank you for joining us. And you know, there is plenty to pray about. You've heard us mention that before. And was talking with Paul before the broadcast that, you know, the Word tells us, and I even mentioned Thursday night, that, you know, we are to smile at the future. We are. And Paul made the comment that it's because we know who's in control. We know that the things that happen they happen at God's hand and for God's will and purpose. But, boy, the abominations in the land today, the things going on, that if you're not sighing and crying out, if you're not just moaning and groaning in your soul at the mess that we've gotten ourselves into, you need to be. It's as simple as that. So, well, Paul, would you open us up in prayer this morning, and then we'll get on going with the program.
Yeah, sure. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we ask for a blessing upon this program as we go out to the nation, and we would be of help to them and comfort to them. And sometimes the truth just flat hurts, Lord, and whatever it is we need to do, Lord, us put it in our mouth and put it in our words, and Lord, pray that the best is broadcast to your honor and to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And, well, again, Remnant, the program, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are here. We have our coffee. We have our Bibles open and even a second cup of coffee ready. And the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Quite a bit going on. I spoke with a sister up in Canada, called me Wednesday, and we spoke, and she said that it was Wednesday that the vaccine passports went into effect 100% in Canada. And she said that they are don't really know what they're going to do. It's taken a little while to reach the outer edges, some of the smaller towns. She said it's in a month it's supposed to be on everybody's phones, and the travel has really been curtailed, and she said that's part of it. Lots of public transportation up there, and she said, I don't know what I'm going to do, because she's not getting the shot, she said, her and her husband. Her husband has some health issues, and she had shared with me that she said, I know if he gets the shot, that's just going to be bad. And so our neighbors to the north, that's where they're at this week. You know, that wasn't on a Google report or here or there. That was a Christian sister in Ontario calling, outside of Ontario, I think, calling and letting me know that. I also saw in a news report this week that Italy, and I'm sure that it's most of how most of the European nations are, but Italy has, again, a socialist country. You have to remember that the government is in control of all the things there, and that they have a neat new little thing called a green pass. And, you know, out here, a green pass is, you know, it's an annual pass to all the national parks. You can get in. For one fee, but there the green pass is, no, it's your vaccination passport, and you have to have it, the news report said, in order to get paid. Now that's in Italy. I've got the news report if you'd like me to send it to you. And so we are seeing new things. We are seeing things that we weren't seeing last week, month, year. These things that the enemy is pushing and prodding and moving forward with. And their plans are to bring them here as well, regarding this COVID, this vaccine, this it is about control. It is about control. It has, you know, they tell you it's for your health. It's for the health of the people. That's why it's free. Well, the government pays $20 a shot for it to Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. And so there is no free lunch. And the hypocrisy, you know, oh, this is free, but all the cancer treatments and all the other treatments in the land, oh, no, they still cost you out the wazoo. But I praise God for it, because people are awakening, and when they wake up, when they realize and see just what's going on, they will cry out to their God. And when they do that, He listens. He takes notice, the Word tells us, and we can rejoice in that. So just thought I'd kind of start out with that at Remnant, I encourage you, keep our brethren to the north of us, our northern neighbors, in your prayer for protection and for strength, and that they would continue to, you know, to be able to function, to be able to eat, and to be able to continue on with their lives as this oppression, you know, moves in on them.
Well, Richard, you said it right at the end when people are starting to wake up, and hopefully they'll start to cry out. Every time when you read in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, is there's many examples of many captivities and many many times where God came in and rescued Israel, and you see that cycle is they fell away from God, they didn't follow his rules, they didn't run their country the way God instructed them to run their country. Therefore, he took away his protection from them. Then they got taken over. Then they cried out. Then God came back in. And the catalyst every single time was repentance. And that's one thing that the enemy does not want God's people doing is repenting, because he comes and he takes care of them. And I am seeing people starting to attempt to be more godly.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't say
that's
I'd
a good
brag
point.
About their train. I wouldn't say I'd brag about their training from these. What did Pastor Peters call them? These Baal priests.
Yes.
So they basically led them into a trap, and that is, I honestly think that is where the remnant is out. Like, what a perfect position for the remnant to be in. Just like Pastor Peters used to say, we're spread out. He's got a good person in every area, one. And that person can, you know, proclaim the word. Now, whether or not people listen to it, I've had a lot of experience, more than most, proclaiming the word, and I know what kind of result I got out of it, but, you know, we got to proclaim the word, and we got to identify who Jesus is, the real Jesus, and hopefully that repentance will come. So, you know, it's a pretty tricky time right now. There's no question about it.
Amen. Amen to that. Paul, are you seeing any returning or any comments on that, you know, there in the, well, the heartland where you're at?
Well, let's say there's a big gap between what I am at and where they're at. But, yeah, I see it. People are starting to think different. Yeah, it's going on. You know, the hand of God, you know, the remnant will be saved. But there's a lot of people who go down to the ship. You know, if you get on the Titanic, it was guaranteed it couldn't sink, and it does sink. And that's kind of where our government's at. They have not. They've failed. Well, the problem is people put their faith in government, what the real problem is. They have nothing to offer. They get from somebody else. So, yeah, it's going to work out. I was reading in Isaiah 43, 18, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things in the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth, and will you not be aware of it?" And everybody's going to be aware of it somehow. "I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So, you know, he's got something up his sleeve. I take a lot of comfort in that right there. But, I think the majority of people would like to go back to the pre-2008 or whenever the economy went south the first time, and just have a comfort zone and say, well, that's not available. It's just not, never going to be the same. Remember Pastor Peter said in 2001, things will never be the same, and they're not. It's a climax. Yeah. I mean, the grocery stores are drying up. I went past a car dealership the other day, and there's hardly any cars in the thing. It's just...
Yeah,
something big's going on. People seeing it coming.
It is. Yeah, the used car market has exploded, and I see the same thing here. The new cars. Oh, there's a tenth of them in the lots instead of them overflowing, and yeah, and had a neighbor text me the other day about that. That she said, "Is it me or the stores, the shelves at the grocery stores?" Have about half of what they used to have. Let's try the phone lines. I see we got a caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
It's Warren. I don't have your coffee on this morning, but you know, with all the Corbin stuff going on and stuff, you remember the Wizards of Oz?
Yes.
Well, every time these commercials come on TV, my wife and I always think about the Wizard of Oz. You know, the Scarecrow didn't have a brain, and we keep saying, if I only had a brain, you know, the Tin Man didn't have a heart. And so America doesn't have a brain. That's why they're all going out and getting, you know, stabbed with these shots, and they're not smart enough to figure out what's going on. And they definitely don't have a heart like they used to. I mean, they don't have the, you know, compassion that they used to. And we definitely don't have courage, you know, the courage of David and Gideon, you know, to stand up against what's going on. And then, well, Dorothy turned to the, you know, to the wizard. And on the Wizard of Oz, that's over 50 years ago, you know. The witch from the north asked Dorothy, are you a good witch or a bad witch? Because the Bible says, the Lord says, you know, suffer a witch not to live. And America is, you know, turning to the wizard, the pharmaceutical and whatever. So I thought, you know, that I laid it on my heart to call in about that, and pray about it, that we turn away, you know, from the witches and the wizards and stuff that, you know, like Dr. Fauci and all these others, you know, they are the wizards and the witches. And Pastor Peters, you know, mentioned many times these programs are telling you something. And when Dorothy was no confused, she asked the Scarecrow which way to go. I'm sure there's a lot of people, especially the Rentman out there, asking which way to go. And then, well, the little munchkin says, you know, follow the yellow brick road. We know the Bible says that the streets are made of gold. Maybe we should start following that, you know, yellow brick road. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, good points, Warren. That, you know, I've often thought about that. That, and I know Pastor Peters did too. You know, he would let us know that he taught us that is a rule of warfare that we are in. The warfare we are in, that is a rule that the enemy has to tell you, either what they're doing or their plans or what they've done, and they do that in the movies. And you look at that. That was one of the first colorized movies that came out. And the points you make are great. That's right. We are. It's very very symbolic of the nation today. Without a brain, without a heart, without courage. And whether they know it or not, trying to return. That, you know, that's what Dorothy was doing. She was trying to get home. She was trying to return. And, you know, and then when she finally meets the great and terrible Oz, what is it? It's a little guy. It's all smoke and mirrors. And everything in it had been smoke and mirrors. And, you know, one of the most famous lines, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And so our enemy has told us that, you know, way back, like you said, 50, 60 years ago, that it's all smoke and mirrors, and that we really do have a brain that God gave us. And we really do have a heart of courage. You know, I've said that many times to people that, you know, when the American people realize that they are the people of the Bible, that the courage that that David had was not some little kinky-haired, you know, boy that they see that claimed to be God's people today. No, that he was he was a type of Christ, a fair-haired, blue-eyed, ruddy that could blush like most Americans today. And when they realize that, you know, through repentance, that's where it comes, through repentance, that's who they are, and that's the blood that flows in their veins, then it's going to be, Paul, you've mentioned it several times, it's going to be like Kipling's poem, when the Anglo-Saxon begins to hate. You know, that in itself is prophetic. It really is. It really, really is. Well, Warren, thank you for calling and sharing that this morning. We sure keep you guys in our prayers and hope the very best for you, brother. God bless.
I think he's got.
I would challenge the people to read their Bible. You know, when I met Pastor Peters, the reason I was attracted to him was I knew my Bible. I didn't understand it, but I knew it. And he was preaching the truth. I didn't really like him at first because he, but that all changed because he was telling the truth. And here in Jeremiah 23, verse 16, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak visions in their own imagination, and not from their mouth of, but not from the mouth of the Lord. You know, and this is what people are doing. They're not saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. They're saying what they think about it. Even Bibles with, you know, footnotes and commentaries. I don't have no use for them because the Bible speaks for itself. When it says it, believe it. And a big project in your life is to get rid of the religion of the past. And that can be a little difficult. When you believe something all your life that you got to let go of, that can be a very hard. I mean, some people won't do it, so.
That's right. I
think that's why the Bible says when you read where it says to teach your children all these things so that way things may go well with them. And because it's tough to unbelieve something that you've believed your whole life. I agree with you, Paul. It is tough. I was listening to this one lady. She was a she worked for the Secret Service and the FBI, and is what her job was she was a polygraph operator, and she was saying, and she was like, she was giving polygraph tests to Middle Eastern people that the military had taken captive there during all that stuff in Afghanistan, Iraq. But one of the things that she said that struck me, she goes, it takes 4 to 5 years to change somebody's mind about a topic. And she was saying, she was talking with this one guy from the Middle East, and the guy said to her, he goes, "Man, I really like you, but still, you give me a chance, I'd kill you." Because he couldn't change his mind on the belief structure that was embedded into his brain for so long, and as he was a child. It's hard to let stuff go, you know? And but I think people are willing to let things, they're getting more willing to let things go. You know, when Trump ran his first campaign, it was "Make America Great Again." And you look at it politically, and yeah, he did some really cool things, you know, as far as the trade and he made, you know, he was tougher on abortion and he was tougher on the borders and all that stuff. And those are all great things. I'm not knocking them, but you know, the people need the final vision. How are we going to make America great again? What is the set of rules that we are going to live by in order that is going to continue to make America great, and it's going to make it secure, you know? And is anybody out there really preaching that? There is a way. I'm preaching to the choir here on the radio, but, you know, people need to have that. I said that last week. People need to have that vision. But what is America going to be after we get through this turmoil? Paul, I think it was you that was talking about, and I don't remember who said it, was talking about the United States having 2 or 3 difficult times, and one of them was the Civil War. I forget, Paul. Do you remember what that was?
George Washington had that vision that we're going to have 3 troubled times, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and what we're in right now, I would imagine.
So, you know, people need to have that vision. Now, are they going to build that vision on truth, on the rock, on the Word of God? Or are they going to build it on... Because you can sit there and just keep rebirthing Babylon. You know, we had the Roman Empire. Now we got the Babylon and the commercial and the central bankers here again in the United States, all across the world. It keeps showing up. You know, what are we gonna build this nation on? What are we gonna build our communities on? You know, and people are rallying. They're screaming at their school boards. They're screaming at their county commissioners. They're furious. But I don't think that they have the foundation. Like, what are we going to do when we throw these bootlickers out? You know, and that's where we come in. I honestly believe that. I really do.
Well, the people that wrote the Constitution said it would only work for immoral people. Well, the people aren't moral no more. They just flat ain't normal. And, you know, so many, I just read something. These people are comfort in what they believe. There's so many people that go to church, they're very comfortable where they're at. They think they're on God's side, and they're really not. And that's a, I just read that last night. I don't remember exactly where, but they're comfortable where they're at. And even in the turmoil we're in today, they think, well, you know, the other people are there. They don't think it's them. And it is them, because the morals of the people, the foundation that Jeremiah 23, the false prophets, don't listen to them. You know, it's got to go against the Bible. I mean, the Bible's got to stand on its own, and you got to hold the people to that, and people don't know their Bibles. So, and, you know, I talked to my grandson the other day, you know, and I said, you got to start in Genesis. You go in there when God created the man and the woman, and then he rested, and then there's another creation there. There's two creations. And I said, this is where it all starts, and that explains the different races and all of that. But otherwise, today it's well known we're all one. Well, that just isn't all one. You know, who were the people that came out of Egypt? Let my people go. Egypt wasn't their people.
Amen.
So...
Amen. Yeah, you have to go back to the source. and that source is the Word, Remnant. It is. It's as simple as that. The times that we are in, people are starting to look. People are starting to seek answers. And you know, we've had many in the Remnant that have let us know that you know, people are asking, hey, what about baptism? Hey, what about repentance? Hey, what about this? What about that? So people are, as they are awakening up, there are some that are seeking, and you know, we rejoice in that. We rejoice. The Bible talks about one from a city and two from a town. Is how God calls them, and I know many out there. That's the scattered remnant that was mentioned earlier. It feels like you're all alone sometimes, but God has you there for a purpose, and you know, we have to bloom where we're planted, so to speak, and it is so that that there are people. In just about every town, every city, might be one here, two there, but that understand this, that will be there for, well, the people that will listen, and turn them back to the Bible, turn them back to their God. We'll let them know that, hey, listen, you can do this, but it starts with you. It starts. That's where it has to start. You know, before we can be effective and help others, we have to make sure that we have this down, that we understand it. Not that we have to be some great Bible scholar, but you have to understand the Word. You have to, like you said, Paul, go back to Genesis and start and get that understanding and build on that. The famous quote from Horace Greeley, the newspaper publisher, said that you cannot enslave mentally or physically a Bible-reading people. Well, we are enslaved today. We're enslaved to sin. We're enslaved by this Babylonian captivity. And they're just looking to draw it tighter and tighter, draw that noose tighter and tighter. But when you turn to the Word, and not just be a reader or a hearer, but a doer, not just a believer, but a doer of the Word. Pastor did a great job in explaining that difference between belief and faith. And that belief, you can believe all day, but if you don't follow up that belief with action according to that belief, then that belief is just no good. It's the Bible talks about that faith without works is dead. So faith can be dead, folks, without works. You can believe that Jesus is Lord all you want, but if you don't live your life accordingly, if you don't do what he says, you can say you love him, but he says, though, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so if you have to be a doer. You do. It's as simple as that. In the times that we are in, it's driving more people to be doers. Remnant phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. I've seen Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. He's a man. He isn't any more perfect than any of us. But he's got like this God Loves You tour going on across the country. Got some K-Love bands with him and going around. And I listened to about 20 minutes of it the other day. It was a recording of it. And 99% of it was good, was factual. He's telling people that, you shouldn't have sex. Sex outside of marriage is a sin. Drug abuse and alcohol abuse and these things. Then he tells people to just say the sinner's prayer and you're covered. And so I just bring that up because, I think that, as you said, Paul, about those false prophets in Jeremiah. We just have to compare. We have to compare what you hear on this program with the Word of God. If we contrast what the Word of God says, you got to go with the Word of God. And if Franklin Graham contrasts what the Word of God says, you have to go with the Word of God. And that's one of those changes that has to take place. That you were talking about, Zach, those changes that are hard. That's Billy Graham's son. And I know my parents' generation, they looked at Billy Graham as God himself, just maybe one step down. It was God and Charlton Heston as Moses and Billy Graham. And that was what was in the people's minds as, what was the Word of God. Because that's what the enemy had put there. But we have the Word of God. And I like Franklin Graham. I like hearing him talk. I like when he says, those things, when he puts those truths out that you don't hear too many other places, especially, on the from the national scene, like sin. And turn away from sin and things like that. And, he calls out the invasion on the southern border and the wickedness and evil of abortion and things like that. And so whether he's a deceiver, putting out the sinner's prayer, folks, is wrong. It is unbiblical. It is as simple as that. We are never told in the Word to pray the sinner's prayer. And that keeps coming up because what that does is that blocks people. It gives them a false hope. A false hope in their salvation. It is, and so I it's just come up several times, I guess, in my in my life with people calling here at the ministry and talking with people. I remember I ran into a Christian at the post office one time years ago, and we were talking about things, and he said, you know, yeah, he says, once I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, my whole life changed. And I said, well, that's fantastic. I said, can you give me the scripture verse for that? I'd like that to happen as well. And he looked at me like I had three heads and green eyeballs, and he just got silent and turned around and walked away. And see, it's because that truth isn't there. There's no foundation for that except Jesus as your personal Savior. And that's, I think that's one of the things, I don't mean to harp on it, but I guess it's on my mind, that we have to make sure that we are comfortable with in confronting that lie, if it's Franklin Graham or the pastor at the local church, you know, or the person that you've known for 20 years. That's that belief system that they have to overcome. It's that lie they've been fed. And we're seeing the result of it in the land, that it's not true repentance. It's not true salvation.
Well, Richard, what those guys are doing is they are introducing people to a false Christ. And I'm going to take a quick little walk down memory lane. So when I was trying to do an evangelist, and Paul knows because he was there and he helped me, and Paul knows how much work I put into that place. And I put a lot of work into it. And the results that I got, I felt maybe they weren't the results that I wanted or that I thought that should have been taking place. But I look back on it now, and I realize that those people were introduced to a false Christ. It's like Jesus says in Matthew, that there will be many false Christs and false prophets, and you got to be aware of them.
Yes.
And those people were introduced to the false Christ. They thought that we were both talking about the same Christ, and in reality, we were not. And when I do it again and pile into something again like this, the definition of Christ is going to be John 1. John 1, in my opinion, is the perfect definition. That way everybody can understand who Jesus Christ is, who he was when he came as in flesh on the earth, who he was before. And he was the Word of God that became flesh. And that forces people to go back. It's like Paul was saying to his grandson, you got to start in Genesis.
Yes.
What is Paul trying to do? He's trying to get him, he's trying to introduce him to the real Jesus.
Yes.
And I think John 1 literally encapsulates that, okay, this is who the real Jesus is. There's nobody can argue with that. And then you can go back and introduce him, you know. And I look back at the path and the struggles that I went through, and I lacked that. I knew they believed a false Christ, just like we all know with all the people that we come into contact with. No, they got it wrong a little bit. No, they believe in a false Christ because it's not defined properly. And, you know, and you have to redefine it. I'm not saying they redefined it. They redefined Jesus.
Yes.
We have to go back to the original Jesus, which is John 1, and it lays it out perfectly, and nobody can argue with it, and there you can come back, and I think then you can take somebody, and then they can be trained. Then I think once they understand that, then they're trainable. If they don't understand that, I don't think they're trainable. That's my opinion.
No, I would think that Franklin Graham is a very dangerous person because he brought him right up to the point and left him off the left. The Judas goat, you know, if he would, I believe if he would preach baptism for remission of sin, he'd be put out of business.
Yes.
Because that's the whole, that little card I came up with, that's the whole thing that turns the tide. They don't teach what sin is, they don't teach baptism for sin, and then they teach that the Jews are God's chosen people. So they, that is, that's the three things that will get you kicked off of TV. Ask Pastor Peters.
Absolutely. It is. It is, and those are the truths. And so, you know, Remnant, we have to be ready. You know, we have to, it's not rocket science. You don't have to understand and be able to quote the genealogy, you know, from Adam to Jesus and all their begots and sons and grandsons and all that. That's not, you know, that's, if you can quote that, great. But you do have to understand the biblical plan for salvation. For
the simplicity of the gospel.
The simplicity of the gospel, absolutely. And it is, you know, it's summarized. It's not all in Acts 2:38, but that's a good summary. That's a good summary of it. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a good summary. Okay, certainly there's more to it. The Bible talks quite a bit more about it. You know, you can read, what is it, Romans 6, that, you know, if you die with Christ, you'll live with him. If you share in his death, you can share in the glory of his resurrection. So what if you don't share in his death? You don't share in the glory of his resurrection. You know, there's that brain. There's that brain that the scarecrow needed that... you know, that Pastor Peters was able to get activated in some of us, that, you know, you have to think about this, people. You have to think about it. Go back to the Word. The Word breaks the spell that the people are under. And that watery grave of baptism breaks the spell that the people are under. It does.
And you know, the other day I heard a guy. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Paul.
The other day I heard a guy, he's running for governor in the state of Michigan, and he was speaking, and he said, he was talking about sacrifice. You know, this is sacrifice. He said, it is not a sacrifice. This is my obligation. And that's profound. You know, we think we sacrifice this time. It's our obligation. When Richard calls, I say, yes, you know, I'll help out. It's my obligation. It's no sacrifice. And I thought that was profound what he said.
Amen. Amen. And more thinking about that. I shared with Brother Zach. A brother called me from Texas Thursday morning, and he said, I just, a person on your ministry introduced me to the ministry about a year ago, he said. And he said, my eyes have been opened. He said, I am a better Christian, a better father, a better husband now. He said, I'm thinking about quitting my job and running for local office because that's what we should be doing. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging that that's out there. And I think you hit that right on the head, Paul. It is. It is our obligation. You know, what is it that God wants us to do? You know, read. Look in your word. He tells us. You know, Amos 5, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. Hate evil, verse 15 says. Love good and establish justice in the gate. And we have no, we have no justice in the land. And God desires that.
Yeah, I was sitting at a restaurant a few days ago, and I was listening to these three gentlemen talking, and they were clearly churchgoers. They were talking about the Bible, and one of the guys thought that he was going to get raptured, and the other two weren't so sure if that was actually a legit doctrine, and all this sort of stuff. But I was, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm eating my breakfast, and, you know, and basically I was waiting for the rain to stop, and I was sitting there thinking as I was listening to them, you know, these people, You know, I mean, these guys don't even they don't get that their foundation that they are on is literally built in the sand and not on the rock.
Yes.
They don't understand that, you know, yes, the Bible promises personal salvation. It promises eternal life, you know, but they were completely, completely oblivious to the power politically that the Bible possesses. And I just sat there and I listened to them and I thought, you know, that's a shame how far we have come as a nation. It's like when you read the book, The Light and the Glory, I know I've talked about it before, but I just love the story of the Puritans and how they had their charter, and their law book was the Bible. They understood the political power that that book possesses. They understood it. And, you know, and eventually sin crept in and, you know, their commonwealth is gone now. But they understood that. And people and Christians need to understand that too. And that's so far removed from their minds that, you know, they're sitting there getting ready to be raptured. And,
right.
You know, and they're not willing to look in the mirror. Does any of that make any sense?
It does. It does.
So, yeah. So we got a lot of work to do.
In early America, this country was run by the preachers. All the Yale, Harvard, and them were all seminaries. And I've got a book in my hand here, The Political Sermon of the American Foundation Era. I mean, this country was run by the pastors. And it was the war was started by the pastors, you know. And then everybody now is cowards, you know. Oh, you can't do that, can't do that. But these people had a spine because of the Bible. And that's what this whole country was built on. And it's totally lost right now. I mean, this book is Greek to most of the people.
Amen. Amen. But the times that we are in, there's people that are doing more than their Greek yogurt. You know, they're learning it. They're seeing it. You know, the book of Joel, verse 4 says, chapter 1, listen, all inhabitants of the land, has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's days? Verse 4, what the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. And wail, all you wine drinkers, because that's how this country is. Most of them are drunk with that sweet wine or that Budweiser. And I enjoy a cold beer, but I'm not a drunkard. And most in this land are just the opposite, right? The sets of songs you hear on the radio and you know, give me a cold beer in my red Dixie cup and, you know, let me drink on a plane, and everybody just loves it. Oh, they just laugh. Wake up, you drunkards. Wail, all you wine drinkers, on account of the sweet wine that is cut off from your mouth. For, and then it's explained what he's talking about. He's not talking about bugs here, people. Okay? For a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion. It has the fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine a waste and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. And so read through Joel, Remnant. I'll give you that assignment. It's a very short book. 3 very short chapters. Read through Joel. And tell me that's not what you're seeing happening in this land today. It is happening. It goes on and talks about, excuse me, starvation and drought. And a visitation that, it's a summary. It's a summary, and it's where we are today. And so I encourage you to go and you read it. And you can say a simple prayer before you read it. No, not the sinner's prayer, but you can say, Holy Spirit, you can say, Lord, open my eyes to your word. And help me with understanding in your word. And God will answer that. If you seek truth, the truth of the Bible, you'll find it. Now, what you do with it, that's up to you. But if you seek it, you'll find it.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, everything that we're witnessing right now, and for those of you out there that may be listening that are raising children, you know, you should tell your children, take a good look at what's going on, at the amount of confusion, the amount of anger, the amount of people lying, trying to take people captive, because that's all a lie is. It's meant to take somebody captive, to take a position. Had they known the truth, that they wouldn't have taken, if they did know the truth. And you tell your children, like, this is what happens when people reject the word of God. This is what happens when a nation, which this nation used to embrace the word of God, and this is what happens. Just take a look. And, you know,
yes.
I might be wrong, whatever. I don't hide a lot of stuff from my children. I let them see it. I have to teach them how to react on what they see and how to stay from it. And I have to explain to them the consequences. And because you're not going to hide it from them. It's there. And, you know, you have to always look at the bright side of things, because, you know, our children, they're the ones that are going to bear the brunt. If this doesn't get turned around, they are going to bear the brunt of these actions that are taking place today. And people better think about that, because we're not going to have to pay the full price. But I'll tell you what, the generation to come, they're the ones that are going to have to pay the price, good and full. You know, so people need to think about that kind of stuff.
Amen. Amen. It is exciting times. Paul?
Look at the bumpers I could used to see. You know, I'm spending my children's inheritance. What a hideous group of people that put that on their turn. You know, and they knew it. They said they knew what they were doing.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So that's what Zach continuously talks about. We got to make a place for our children, and that's our goal, is to leave this country, whether it's soil, whatever, spiritual, and everything. We want to leave it better than we found it, rather than spend your children's inheritance.
That's right.
How many people do you actually think sit there and look at the possession that they, like the land that they have, and think, you know what? This ground belongs just as much as my offspring as it does to me. How many people do you actually think that way? I'll bet it's very few.
Very few. Very few.
You can tell by the way they treat the land. They just rape it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Because they're just thinking about this 1 year. You know, they're not thinking 5 years, 10 years down the road. And they could do a lot of improvements in 5 and 10 years. But they don't, you know. So, and there's going to be a price to pay. It's going to be the children. That's who's going to pay. So you can think of example after example of what people do to where their children pay, you know. And then the thing that is, they're oblivious to it. They're completely oblivious. Then they get mad at their children for not doing is what they think that they should be doing. Well, they're the ones that trained them. They're the ones that trained them how to, you know, live in this world, so they should be pointing the finger at themselves.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know.
No, you're right on there, Zach.
I got a little feisty there.
You are. You're right on. You know, Hosea 4:6 says, "You forget my law, I will forget your children." That is the words of Jesus Christ, the Word.
No.
Simple. And what are we told? What is the world? These pastors tell everybody, the law is done away with, brother. Oh, it's done away with, because they want God to forget your children. Well, guys, we are out of time. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you guys for taking time and sharing your comments. Oh man, I'm encouraged. I know that the remnant is as well. And remnant, you know, the Bible tells us to wail like a virgin in Joel 1:8, but it tells us to smile at the future as well. And Paul, I thank you for clarifying that with us, you know, that it's because we know who's in control. And we have to, we do cry out at the abominations, but we are thankful. And we smile because we know God has good plans for his remnant. He does. We want to invite you to come join us at church tomorrow, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we will have a little bit of everything for you. Live message, timeless pulpit truth. And so we hope you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rollin', 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay kind. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King.